live in volatile, uncertain and complex times. So how do we navigate an age of uncertainty and complexity in global development? In this series, we explore the future of PARTOLS, the Dutch Development Cooperation Association that brings together nearly 110 Dutch development NGOs. The podcast series is produced by Disrupt Development, the world's first post-growth innovation academy in global development. My name is Alexander Medic, the founder and innovation strategist at Disrupt Development. In this final podcast episode, Bart Romein and Merel van der Woude reflect on the PARTOLS future exploration and share their main insights. What has PARTOLS learned from the future exploration? What topics have received priority? And how will the outcomes benefit the Dutch Development Cooperation? Bart Romein is the director of PARTOLS. Merel van der Woude is creative director at Butterfly Works, the social design studio that facilitated the PARTOLS future exploration.
Welcome, Bart.
Hi, Alexander. Good to see you and good to be connected with the Disrupt Development audience again.
Thank you, Bart. Welcome, Merel, as well.
Hi, Bart. Hi, Alexander. Good to be here.
Great. So you started the future exploration in April, right? Let's do a brief recap for the listeners. Bart, what happened till the summer? So let's say the period from April till the summer in the PARTOLS future exploration.
Well, many things happened and with a very enthusiastic and diverse engagement of PARTOLS members and others. The first phase entailed getting familiar with and learning about the methodology of dynamic adaptive future pathways. And that's a method that not only helps to alert on new developments, but also contributes to thinking about response strategies. So that was the first phase, just to get to assimilate the methodology. Mm-hmm. The second phase was to give this method hands and feet as part of PARTOLS strategizing endeavors. And so what we did briefly was firstly to identify developments that may have significant impact on our work. And secondly, for each of these issues, we defined objectives and plausible pathways. So what will happen if this issue emerges and develops and develop a great momentum? Mm-hmm. And these plausible pathways included the definition of tipping points that might boost or accelerate these developments to unstoppable momentum. And for each of the issues also, we defined early warning signals that indicate the direction and growing momentum of these developments. So that's what we did till the summer. Let me give an example because
it
sounds very kind of conceptual. One of the issues identified were the effects of digitalization on civic space, both positive and negative. We all know about the increasing internet-based scrutiny of activist NGOs. A tipping point in a country could be that NGOs or activists are fully excluded from using internet or being eliminated for ventilating critical opinions. We see already many early warning signals. And mitigating and response strategies could be to seek alternatives. So the service of PARTOLS could then be monitoring the early warning signals and sharing information about promising activities that circumvent these constraints. So that's kind of example of what we did in this approach of dynamic, adaptive future pathways.
Thank you for sharing, Bart. And having been part of the different workshops, also facilitated amongst others by Merel and the colleagues from Butterfly Works, I can say that it was very interesting and also very enlightening to engage with fellow development practitioners around possible future pathways and also the tipping points and possible actions that we as a community can take. So thank you also for providing that very practical example of how this has come into practice for the digitalization future trend. Okay, so now we have a better understanding of what happened until the summer. We're in October, of course. So what happened from the summer until October, until now, Merel?
So also a lot happened in that second phase. And again, on two levels. So like Bart was explaining, we developed this methodology and we engaged with a lot of people. And throughout the summer, what we tried to work on is also the narrative of this methodology and how can we explain it better. So over the summer, we've worked on a sort of metaphor to explain these pathways using bicycles, making it much more workable An easier way to present the methodology so it's usable for Partos members in their own work. And then next to that, we've worked on the actual development of these pathways for Partos. And what we looked at is we had this long list of early warning signals, tipping points, and then we needed to decide what can Partos work on. So we really looked at what is the role of Partos as it's a membership organization. So which tipping points are maybe more tipping points that should be taken up by the member organizations themselves, and where is the added value for Partos? And that brought us to a selection of 5 pathways from the longer list of teams that we had before the summer. And with these 5 pathways, so we had internal sessions with the team of Partos to look at which ones are the most urgent for you, where do you have capacity as Partos to really work on? And then we had 2 sessions with members to discuss with them, how do they see that? Do they agree with that? And what do they see as the role of Partos? So really look at strategies that Partos can use to support their members in working on these different topics.
Very impressive, Merel. And also good to mention that Partos, the Dutch Development Cooperation Association, has over 110 member associations or organizations working on issues related to international development. And you also made me a little bit more curious, Merel. And Bart, this question is for you. So Partos members have identified 6 themes, right, in May, for which they explored the possible future uncertainties. These 6 themes have been also covered by the podcast series of the Partos Future Exploration with very inspiring speakers. And during the summer, Partos analyzed the outcomes of the future uncertainties, as Merel already indicated, and has prioritized 5 themes, which are also a little bit slightly different. So could you perhaps enlighten us on what decisions Partos has made and also why?
Well, yes, indeed, we started with 6 themes and we ended up with 5 themes. And the 5 themes, I mentioned one already, that's the digital developments and its impact on civic space. The other issues were reorganizing power, a policy coherence for development, constituency building and funding. Let me just briefly give the rationale behind the 5 topics. Yeah. And then I did it already about the digital development. So the threats of the surveillance economy, of scrutiny and so on. But on the other side, there's a lot of options and opportunities and possibilities, making better use of data and of digital technology, of course. And I don't want to elaborate on that because it's a theme on itself. But the second theme is on reorganizing power. And at one side, there is the debate, a kind of internal debate between NGOs of shifting the power, those who have the money, who provide funds, have the power. Those who fund, they decide. And I think there is quite a challenge to reorganize, to balance that decision making. Mm-hmm. But it's not just internally. It's, of course, also externally, because if you see that the power about decisions about the management of global commons, about how the benefits and the burdens are being shared of the global commons in terms of costs, of subsidies, and so on, there's quite an inequity and inequality, and the power is in the hands of a few elites. And I think that is also about reorganizing power. How can we mobilize civic power in its countervailing power, in its connecting and co-creative power to change that and for the good? So that's on reorganizing power. Thirdly, the policy coherence for the sustainable development came out as an important issue. Just to explain the concept for those who are not familiar with, we work on development cooperation and we have positive investments and activities and interventions. At the same time, looking at my own government and our own society, we have a big negative footprint on other countries, for example, by facilitating fiscal avoidance and evasion. But also by trade agreements, by providing subsidies to larger multinationals and all kinds of privileges. and so discriminating smaller and small and medium enterprise, and as well as the informal sector. So this is about incoherency. What we're looking for is for policy coherence, where the sustainable development goals are a kind of goal setting framework, and we have to assess everything we do. And that relates to the government, but also to other actors in the private sector, as well as civil society, to assess all what it's doing to optimize its added value for the SDGs and to minimize its, let's call it, collateral damage to the sustainable development. So that's some policy coherence. Uh-huh. Then constituency building, it's about support for development. And for example, here in the Netherlands, we know there is a lot of support amongst the population. It's about 4 yeah. million people of the 17 million that somehow support development activities, not just organizations, but also concrete projects and so on. However, development cooperation as such is not a concept that touches the imagination. So we have to make it more concrete. We have to, and there is a lot of agency in this population to do more than just giving support in what other form. And so we have to explain it, to make it tangible in terms of relating it to very important issues like climate change and climate justice, which is one to related to development cooperation. So climate change, everyone knows all about, but the climate justice relates to that the impact of climate change is most serious for those who live in certain areas, who have least means to provide to mitigate the effects, or and also here in the Netherlands to isolate your room, to make use of all kinds of technical things. You have to be richer, and you get subsidy if you're richer. If you're poor, you live in a house without many provisions, and you can't afford means to isolate or to generate renewable energy. So that's about climate justice redirected. And so that's an example of how we want to strengthen the committed constituency behind development cooperation. And finally, the funding theme, both ways, not just funding for development cooperation. We think that's key to implement a number of activities, to support groups that are excluded and so on. And also to support our coherency activities, but at the other side also, and that also relates to coherency for sustainable development, we see that the major funding and also subsidies are perverse subsidies, adverse effects. Funding of subsidizing the fossil fuel industry, funding the military production, and the banks for covering the loans. So that's also about funding, and that's being the funding for, let's call it, the investments in sustainable development are very meager if you compare to that. So that's quite a challenge. And we see that, once a month, every time again, every day again, happening that the divestment of adverse funding is going very slow. Governments, pensions, pension organizations, and so on, they keep funding fossil fuel, they keep funding military operations, and investments for sustainable development. Well, they increase, and we see an increasing support, but there is quite a way to go. So these are the five themes that emerged under the dynamic adaptive future pathways methodology. Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for providing more context, basically, to the chosen themes, Bart. And the themes sound very important indeed. And also having been reading and looking at the different trends, I think it's very important that these themes have been prioritized. But I'm also, again, curious around, so we have these themes, the organizations, the Partos member organizations, they find this important, and Partos finds this important. What's next? What are we going to do? What is Partos going to do? So perhaps a little bit of reflection. Partos has been, of course, actively implementing activities around advocating for the sector or organizing learning events to bring organizations together. And if I'm correct, in September, two workshops were held that provided the Partos members with the opportunity to provide suggestions, right, on what role and activities Partos could and should play in the future, also related to these themes. So I'm curious, Bart, were there any surprises of perhaps new activities or new types of roles that the member organizations found important for Partos as a development association to play?
Yeah, well, the major surprise is in the five themes and the one that dropped out, that was skipped out. And the sixth one was climate. And so that was a surprise, and I also played a role in that. At the same time, on the question, what are you going to do next? I think we cannot avoid, no, we should invest in climate justice by many ways, because I said already, it's very much related to development cooperation, not just in vulnerable areas for vulnerable groups, but also the impact of my country and the private sector and all the whole society in the Netherlands has on climate change. We have to work on it. And so whatever comes out of this exploration, we'll certainly incorporate the aspect of climate justice in our work for the next years. At the same time, we have to elaborate many things, because this has been explored with an inner group of Paartus members staff. And what we certainly should do, and that's the next phase, is include external actors. In many ways, of course, there is many outcry already on certain subjects, but also storytelling, asking people to tell, to share their dreams, and see how that could, might come through, how that relates to our work, and give it more substance, but also include a wider audience and engagement, because that's what development cooperation is about. It's not just thinking for and doing for others; it's thinking with, listening to, and thinking with and doing with others, cooperating with others. And I think that's a key follow-up action.
Thanks, Bart. And I think I also echo your words. It's important from that perspective to be inclusive and to work with others as well. So very happy to hear that Paartus will take the direction as well to include more voices in the continuous future exploration that Paartus is doing. This has been a process, I think, of several amount of months, and this is the final podcast episode of the series. But it doesn't mean that the future exploration stops here. Not for the member organizations, and also not for Paartus. I think this should be, and many times is also a continuous process of reflecting and looking also into the future. So thanks for that, Bart. Miral, coming back to you. Butterfly Works played a crucial role in facilitating the future exploration, in guiding Paartus together with its 110 or more member organizations through this co-creative process, by also piloting a very innovative methodology on creating a better understanding of the future for the sector and the future for Paartus. So I'm very curious, Miral, you have been closely involved, of course, in this process, leading on the process as well. What has been the main, or what have been the main lessons learned from your perspective, looking back at these, like, what is it, 6 or 7 months?
It's been quite a steep learning curve, I think. Well, first of all, I learned a lot on the content, and I think it's, that's also what the whole process learned, everybody who participated. It's a lot about, we shared a lot, and it was a lot about exchanging among members what is important to them. So it was really interesting because of the content. But what we learned most is, for me, really, that this methodology is really very important for all of us, because it really forces you to look forward and to imagine that the impossible. And I think that's also one of the things that I've shared in earlier presentations about this methodology. It's, we're quite good at analyzing risks based on what we have seen before. But for most organizations, it's quite hard to look ahead and to think what else could happen that we now think is unimaginable or is too big, and then to think what would we do at that moment. So this mindset of beforehand looking towards the future, making it, looking a bit further, looking a bit more into the extremes, and then having that discussion. And I think it's not only about knowing what to do exactly, but having the discussion among organizations about what would you do if this would happen, and what is our role. And I think that was the biggest harvest of this whole process is that this discussion was being held, and also on the role of Partos. Is it Partos's role to work on, to go back to Bart's example on digitalization, in earlier sessions, there were lots of talks about setting up new tools or alarm signals on when the civic space is shrinking, and then to decide, but whose role is that? Is that Partos, or do they have only a signaling function and they rely on other experts? So I think that has been the biggest lesson, and that it's really something to take forward. So what we now have are these five topics that are a starting point, that have come out as super important, that have a lot of relevant issues that will have a big impact on the work of Partos members. And that this is a starting point to start talking about it, like Bart said, to get these stories, to have that discussion about what happens next. And the other thing is that what came out very clearly for me, which also links to the storytelling, is that in these kind of methodologies, it helps a lot to use storytelling to know what you're talking about, to switch from real life examples to these conceptual frameworks. It became for me again, being a designer, I like working with visuals and stories. And I think it showed also in this process that that's really helpful to have a real life story to talk about something concrete in these conversations.
Thank you for sharing, Merel. So what's next? Very practical again, let's make it concrete. How will Partos, Bart, put all these learnings into practice moving forward? What will happen after tomorrow?
Well, three entries to that. First, let me first start with the practical aspects and the operational aspects. I think we'll elaborate these outcomes into concrete activities. Let me just give a few examples, like the reorganizing power. We already composed a kind of a power awareness tool, helping NGOs and partnerships to articulate how the powers and the decisions are made and how they can divide it more equitably. And also we want to include more unheard voices worldwide in our work. So that's a thing where we will certainly invest upon and work upon in the next year. A second example is, I refer to the policy coherence for the sustainable development and funding. I think that will be a key issue where our lobby efforts focus upon policy coherence for development. And also I hope we'll able to mobilize our constituency, but also other partners to really divert the funding streams from unsustainability to sustainability. To put it in broader terms, I refer to climate justice. I think we should go for global commons justice, so that the global commons are sustainably and fairly being managed. And secondly, that the costs thereof, the benefits thereof, and the burdens thereof are also fairly shared. So I think that's kind of thing what we will do and what will guide us in our lobby efforts and also in our activities. And thirdly, I think that as Merel stipulated already, this is not a final project. And you also already said too, strategizing is not a one-time effort for us. We don't have a multi-annual strategy, by the way. We have a rolling strategy where we have a number of objectives, where we have a number of strategic value principles, and we keep adjusting us ourselves in our work and in our objectives to adapt to that, and jointly with our members and other partners adapting to the future but also shaping the future. And so that's a broad thing, and one of the most important venues we use for that is our learning and innovation program, where again with many external partners and our members we explore new products, new services, but also new ways of cooperation and new mindsets. I think we have to change, because things are not going fast enough. We have to boost our effort, we have to boost our impact, and I think that's a continuous search. And I'm very hopeful, because I also see continuous small and bigger wins and promising ideas. So that's what we'll do in the next future.
Thanks, Bart. Very clear. And I would like to wish you a lot of luck and all the best with implementing the learnings and outcomes of the future exploration moving forward, and continuously learning from it, of course. Thanks, Bart. Thanks, Merel. It has been a pleasure, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you. Miro and Alexander, thank you very much.
Good luck.
Would you like to learn more about Apartel's future exploration and explore how you can be involved? Check out the link in the description for more information. Thank you for listening to the podcast channel of Disrupt Development, the world's first post-growth innovation academy in global development. We work with leaders, nonprofits, social enterprises, corporates, international institutions, and governments to help them innovate, maximize impact, and achieve systems change.